Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice. Not a game.
Yeah.
It's a game that was broadcast plausibly nationally. A fledgling cable channel out of Connecticut broadcast the Monday night game that had the 49ers squaring up with the Denver Broncos. Now, this is a matchup. In the past, these teams met in a Super Bowl. Many, many years back and whatnot, but you know, it's exhibition. Right? So, but you check it out. I am the guy that complains about exhibition football but then ends up watching it because I'm looking for things to talk about. We got something to talk about. The 49ers and Broncos in the Mile High City. How did that go? Well, the Niners won the game, but that nobody cares about that unless you bet on it, and very few people do bet on these exhibition games. Now, typically, the only news that comes out of a practice football game is what? Someone going snap, crackle, pop, and we have injuries. That was not the case on this night. Now, there were players that got hurt, but that's not the headline. So if you didn't watch, and I'm going to assume you didn't watch, Jimmy Garoppolo was a trending topic. His name was being bounced around. It was not because Jimmy Garoppolo played the game of games. It was for all the wrong reasons. The Niners quarterback got his first game action, and he played like a peasant. It was a jaw-dropping, eyebrow-raising mess of a performance. El stinkaroo for Jimmy G. And how bad was it? Let's go to the stats. Jimmy Garoppolo attempted 6 passes, completed 1 of them for, wait for it, 0 yards passing. Completed a pass for 0 yards. He had an interception and a 0.0 quarterback rating. So he's got a ways to go to get to that QB rating of 153. It was a collapse that had everyone buzzing. All the football wonks were chiming in, and you had half the people saying, it's only one game. It's an exhibition game. It doesn't count. No one will remember this. And then you had other people screaming and shouting and yelling and pounding the table how bad Garoppolo was. So it's time now to pull out the Maller scale of panic. Exhibition style, 1 to 10, you know the drill, 10 being Nathan Peterman as your quarterback. How concerned should the 49er brass be with Jimmy Garoppolo's performance against the Broncos in an exhibition game? Now, I'm going to go on the Maller scale of panic, a snowman, an 8. I'm giving Garoppolo's performance an 8. Now, you can say I'm being reactionary and all that, but I watched the game, and there's several factors to this, but I've got an 8. You can come up with your own score, but I'm at an 8. You've got the cigarette, the guillotine, and the escape hatch. And we'll mix all this into a brew, a nice, fresh, not a witch's brew, just a brew. Now, A, not only was Jimmy Garoppolo a quarterback, he was terrible, to quote that old college football coach back in the day. This is not an overreaction. Garoppolo delivered a poop sandwich for the 49ers coaching staff and for the front office there. Now, Jimmy G played 3 series in his first game action since tearing up his ACL in Kansas City 11 months ago. And Garoppolo looked like it was the first time he had ever touched a football. This is like a foreign object. You know, you take somebody from some country that's not familiar with American culture and all that, and you give them a football. They're like, wow, what is this? Is it a melon? What's going on? That's how Garoppolo played. And I'm not overreacting to that. He was stomped out like a cigarette on the sidewalk. And he should have been picked off twice as he gifted there's a drop pick 6, one of the Bronco defensive backs, on the second possession after throwing an interception in the first series for Jimmy G. And Garoppolo had a couple of passes that were batted down. One of them was the interception that was batted down at the line of scrimmage, deflected. And this was more than just a bad day at the office. A bad day in the office, you complete a couple of passes, you maybe get 35 yards passing or something like that. Garoppolo, though, you're talking about stacking things up. You know, it's kind of like the analogy would be like the kitchen sink, right? You do the dishes, but if you miss a day, the dishes start piling up, and then you got a big problem. It's an issue. But Garoppolo, earlier this week, tossed 5 interceptions in a practice. Now, 5 passes in a row were intercepted. So, well, it doesn't matter. It's practice. Who cares? And, yeah, if that was a standalone event, you would say, who cares? But watching him play against the Broncos in this exhibition game where everyone's running vanilla ice cream defenses and offenses and all that, those around the 49ers, right? Those around the 49ers who watch the team all the time, they think Jimmy Garoppolo has regressed in the training camp portion and all that, and he's regularly been taken to the slaughterhouse. It has not been good. And this is a guy that was the flavor of the month when he was traded from New England to the 49ers, and he's right now in the moment. You don't know what's going to happen, but you do know what's happening right now. He's drowning in Santa Clara. Jimmy Garoppolo is drowning in the Bay Area. Now, part B of this, the only reason I didn't go higher than an 8 on the Maller scale of panic with Peterman being a 10 was because it was a scrimmage game. It was a humbling performance, but context does matter, and this was the first game action for Garoppolo in 11 months. He had heavy legs. He was sluggish. It looked like there was some oxidation from rust that had settled in there and just not playing. But you parlay this performance with reports that he has been contaminated, for lack of a better word, with bad habits, and it gives you pause. Right, the 49ers handed over the checkbook. They said, here, what do you want? Kyle Shanahan, the head coach, John Lynch, the big muckety muck. And they gave him a contract, which was the biggest contract for a quarterback at the time. He's since been passed by 17 other quarterbacks. But at the time, it was a big deal. You know, a ridiculous contract considering the very small body of work that Garoppolo had had. And the Niners were trying desperately to correct the course of the franchise, right? They gave Shanahan and John Lynch these big 6-year fix-it contracts, and then they decided that their quarterback was going to be Jimmy Garoppolo, and all this because of Jim Harbaugh and what happened with Harbaugh when he left, and he was a popular coach with the Niners. I mean, you know the backstory on that, but these guys, Lynch and Shanahan, put all their chips to the center of the table and said, hey, we like this guy. We're going to stick our neck out with Jimmy G. And their neck is, they've stuck their neck out. They look like a giraffe, and there's a guillotine, which is about to chop down on their neck momentarily. They handed Jimmy Garoppolo the winning ticket to the Reader's Digest sweepstakes. And now it seems they are deciding, well, we're going to play with fire. I got fire in one hand and a gasoline can in the other, and we're going to juggle these things, and I'm sure the gasoline's not going to spill, and the fire won't. None, these things aren't going to meet.
They dropped the guillotine on him, too.
Damn right. Absolutely correct. Now, keep in mind, John Lynch, who I worked for his old man when I worked at the Mighty 690 in San Diego when I first started. John Lynch's father ran the radio station. So, but anyway, John Lynch, the younger John Lynch, recently said that Jimmy Garoppolo's recovery from knee injury had been, quote, flawless. That was his word. He used the word flawless. So the Niners are setting up a boom or bust situation. I do not see any middle ground. I do not see any middle ground. Now, the last word on this, if this is the Jimmy Garoppolo the 49ers are going to get, you know what? If it doesn't get better, and you assume it's going to get better, but you don't know it's going to get better, can't play him. The guy that went out there, you can't play. He's incompetent. Someone has to be the grown-up in the room and put the kibosh on this. Say he's not ready, needs more time, whatever excuse you want to come up with. But
poop fest.
I'd play Nick Mullins. I know they have Beathard also, but I would play Mullins. I'd go with Mullins at least at the beginning of the year. But
who?
That's assuming the 49ers are attempting to compete with the Rams and the Seahawks in the NFC West. We know the Cardinals have already been eliminated because they got Mighty Mouse, alligator arms at quarterback, snack breaks with granola bars and juice boxes during practice, and social media timeouts and meetings. So the Cardinals have already been eliminated. But the Rams and Seahawks are trying to win, right? Jimmy G, the way he played, and I'm not being just overreactionary, he could not start for a junior varsity team the way that he performed against the Broncos. And so the move here, you go into Frankenstein's lab, you dismantle Garoppolo, you go back to bedrock and start over. The clock is a ticking for the Niners. Jimmy G is in the prime of his career. He's 27 years old. He's got that $137 million contract. But I continue to evangelize that there is an escape hatch that can be activated after the 2019 season. I've been saying this for a couple years now. The 49ers can hit the get out of contract button and erase with an ejection clause the remaining money on the contract. And we've been talking about this. Garoppolo, there's a path for him to return to the Patriots. Of course, the way he's playing right now, I don't know if you want him back, but you know, pocket panic, seeing ghosts, all those cliches about quarterbacks who are struggling. The most important skill, and this is slightly troubling, is accuracy. And one of six passing for Jimmy Garoppolo, which I do not think is good accuracy. Right? So if he continues to ride the vomit comet, then you can see the Niners washing their hands with him and moving on, saying that's it. So there's a lot on the line this year for the Niners. Now, we actually have some of the reaction postgame. Here's Jimmy Garoppolo, who was asked about what happened with the line and the fact that he blew chunks all over the field.
No, I think those guys did a pretty good job up front. You know, for the most part, it was a clean pocket. I think I only got hit like once maybe. So, you know, for the most part, it was pretty good up front. I just personally have to be better.
Well, that's an understatement. That's an understatement. You got to get better. It was horrible. That's 0.0. The only way up to go is up. You can't go lower than 0.00. You can't do that. Here's more from Jimmy Garoppolo, who's got a wish in a bottle.
Unfortunately, we don't get to play the whole game right now. So, you know, it's you only get so many plays. You wish you could be out there for more so you could bounce back and everything. But, you know, it is what it is, the preseason right now. So
it is what it is.
Take it in stride.
I didn't think it is what it is. I thought at the end of the day, you do what you do. Yeah, no? All right. So the Niners next play the Chiefs in an exhibition game August 24th. I think that game's in Kansas City. And then they close it out with the Chargers. And that's at the end of August. And then they begin 49ers against the Buccaneers. You talk about a winnable game one. That's a toss-up game. The Buccaneers stink. The Niners aren't very good. One of those teams is going to be 1-0 outside of a fluke tie. Here's one more. This is Kyle Shanahan, and we'll see him polishing the turd that was Jimmy Garoppolo.
For a quarterback, more than anything, your rhythm's off. You need to be in there a lot of snaps where you can feel the rush, the timing of the speed of the game with the coverages, with the receivers and stuff, just throwing. And you can simulate that only in practices, but you're still never going to allow anyone to hit you. So it's just getting back there and getting comfortable. Some guys don't come back from it as well. Jimmy's been great. He came back, he's had no setbacks, and he's good to go. But Jimmy hasn't played a lot of football, and then he missed last year. So it's about getting him reps, putting him in different situations, and letting him play as much as possible.
Yeah. You know what that was? That was the spin cycle, is what that was. Spin, 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 spin.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Everyone is an expert. Everyone's an insider. Everyone's got a hot take on Antonio Brown, the saga as it plays out. Now, we were in the twilight zone as of yesterday on a previous episode of the show. We talked about Antonio Brown. At that time, he had left the Raiders, and that was it. I'm out of here. See you later. Goodbye. And we can update the story. Now, Antonio Brown continues to make waves. Cowabunga, dude. Like he's surfing in the NFL. And it is time for our obligatory Antonio Brown Maller monologue. It is a daily feature here. He has taken the reins. It's kind of like in basketball, we do the obligatory LeBron James monologue. But in football right now, it's all about Antonio Brown. It's the 6 degrees of Antonio Brown. That's how it works. So if you've not heard the latest here, Antonio Brown continues to be exasperated with the NFL stance on his beloved helmet. He loves the helmet, right? And we know that. He's not happy. So Antonio Brown has filed yet another grievance, a workplace grievance against the National Football League with his union, claiming the NFL is preventing him from wearing his old helmet. Now, that is not surprising, but the main part of this is that the NFL is being unfair, that they're targeting him, not allowing a grace period. That is his main complaint, Antonio Brown. So let us discuss, and it's pretty good. This is pretty good here because Antonio Brown, the complaint, on the surface, you're like, well, this is ridiculous. This is no chance, whatever. But I'm going to walk you through this. So the question is, does Antonio Brown have a case in his updated grievance? Does he actually have a case? Yes. Yes. Believe it or not. Right? He does. You've got the loophole, the squeaky wheel, and made for TV. You've got those three things, and we'll mix all of this together, and we will make some mac and cheese. Macaroni and cheese. Well, with the cheese on top, boy, that's good. All right, now to lead off with, at first glance, this does sound kind of ridiculous. Well, just let it go and all that, but it's not frivolous. All right? This is not frivolous. Using my years of legal training, I got my law degree behind the microphones of Fox Sports Radio. I have a virtual law degree. And Antonio Brown does have a leg to stand on. He doesn't have a foot because his feet are all jacked up from frostbite or trench foot or whatever. But he does have a leg to stand on in this. I am on Team AB. That's right. Benny and the AB. Antonio Brown. Now, I read the information that's made available or was made available here. Antonio Brown is not arguing that he deserves special treatment. That's not the argument. The grievance here with the NFL, he is simply asking for the same common courtesy that Tom Brady and others were given, meaning a grace period of approximately 365 days to wear the helmet, which currently is seen as contraband, by the NFL rules police, and allow him one more year, and then he can switch headgear after that. Now, I might need some meds because I agree with Antonio Brown. In this context, Antonio Brown has a strong, strong case. Now, you never know what an arbitrator is going to do, and the person that pays the arbitrator is the NFL, so I always tend to think the NFL is going to win these things because they're the ones that are paying the quote-unquote independent arbitrator. But nonetheless, here he is simply asking for the same deal that Tom Brady got, and the reporting that's been made available here that this is the model of helmet that was not banned last year. It was just banned recently, within even some say the last month. So he didn't need a grace period last year. Some people are saying they don't understand. They don't know the facts. They're saying, well, last year was his grace period. If the helmet has just been banned within the last month, the clock starts ticking, tick, 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 tick. Once the helmet's banned, that's when the grace period should begin. So you have a month from whatever that point is, and it's up to an arbitrator to decide when the helmet was banned. This is a logic-based argument, which goes counterintuitive to everything Antonio Brown has seemingly done here. But AB has found a loophole in the NFL's own rulebook. Now, I'm assuming this came from some lawyer that was working for Antonio Brown and Drew Rosenhaus that came up with this, unless you think Antonio Brown has a great knowledge of contract law, which maybe he does. Maybe he does. But here's the way I look at it. This loophole, which he has a strong case, it is not a full presidential pardon. Think of this in terms of a brief court-ordered stay of execution, if you will, for Antonio Brown. Meaning, eventually, the execution date will come up, but not quite there yet. You know, you get an extra year of hanging out on death row with your helmet. Your helmet's on death row. You can hang out there for a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. Now, furthermore, Antonio Brown is going to fight the good fight all the way to the Supreme Court if he has to. That's what it's looking like. He is hell-bent on getting the helmet he wants, and no one's going to get in the way of this. Right? Whatever it takes to reach the conclusion where he's allowed to wear the helmet for the 2019 season at the very least. And so AB is following the squeaky wheel gets the grease model. Right? He's like, if I make enough noise and complain enough, idiots like Maller on the radio will do monologues every day about it, and those dopes on state-run NFL TV will talk about me all the time, and I'll get what I want. He believes that if you complain, someone might actually fix the problem for you. Of course, the counter-argument to that, there is a counter-argument. The other saying is the quacking duck's the one that gets shot, right? That's the counter-argument to that. If you're a hunter, you know what I'm talking about. So you haven't seen any temper. This is my theory. You haven't seen any temper tantrum yet from Antonio Brown. Just wait and see what happens. He's got a strong case. He's found a loophole. And imagine when that arbitrator comes back and says, you know, you've got a really good point, but I'm going to side with the NFL anyway. Sorry. Yeah. Oh. You will see a display of childish behavior that will be like a mushroom cloud. The Antonio Brown mushroom cloud. Kaboom. And I read somewhere that Brown has worn the same essential helmet, the basic model, since he was like a 12-year-old kid or something. Like, I mean, this is craziness. He hasn't changed helmets nowhere, college, high school, NFL, no. And he'll be having a hissy fit that will make it seem like a 12-year-old is mature if he does not win this court case. Now, the last thing here. So if you go point by point, break this apart like it's Legos. Right. The one thing that could make this story better is what? It is a made-for-TV courtroom drama. Now, I used to be all about the People's Court back in the day, but you know, Judge Judy is still very popular. So why not bring in Judge Judy or one of those the TV court shows? There's a bunch of them, right? Was it Judge Brown? There's like a Judge Brown show I used to watch. I don't know. A lot of these are in syndication and reruns, and I don't know what's still on the air and what's not on the air. But bring in like Judge Judy or the People's Court or whatever and hear the grievance. Imagine the lecture. Just Judge Judy would. Imagine the hand-wringing she would give Antonio Brown. The yelling and the screaming. Now, meanwhile, the counter theory on this Antonio Brown grievance is that all of this is shtickla. All right? It's all shtickla, and it's a stall technique. Because AB's tootsies are still mangled from trench foot / frostbite, and he needs extra time for the old body to heal. And so these court filings against the NFL are a diversionary tactic because he needs to milk this while he's with Dr. Marty to help him out, the great Dr. Marty. Much like Dr. Laura, who used to be on the radio years ago. Dr. Marty, big deal, right? Big deal. Now, the next step for Antonio Brown, I thought of this. I had an epiphany when I was driving in here because I believe he has a strong case and should win and be allowed a grace period of 1 year. But let's say that doesn't happen. The next move would be Antonio Brown to find another helmet somewhere on the internet and then go cloak and dagger, like fly to Ottawa, go rogue, fly to Ottawa and break into the laboratory in Ottawa. And sneak around like through the air conditioning vents and make sure that helmet that gets tested passes the test. Right? You got to like break in there to the laboratory in Ottawa and it'll pass with flying colors. All right, this is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We have some reaction. Drew Rosenhaus, who has not seen a camera or a microphone that he does not want to talk to. He was on Fox Sports Radio earlier with Colin Cowherd. I was sleeping while this took place because I work overnight. I don't know if you know that. And I sleep during the day when Cowherd's on. So he's my overnight guy. But here's Cowherd with Rosenhaus. Here's Rosenhaus commenting about the latest developments here with Antonio Brown and the issues.
I don't think AB is difficult to deal with whatsoever. I can tell you this is really more a byproduct of him just wanting to have the right safety equipment that he's worn his entire career. You know, the policy was put in place recently. This is the first year where players are prohibited from wearing helmets that are not approved by the NFL. This really has caught us and the Raiders in kind of in the middle of a bigger discussion. This is really about Antonio's safety.
Yeah, it's about his safety. Of course, the NFL's, their argument is, hey, it is about his safety, and this ain't safe. That's what the NFL's saying, and they're just picking on Antonio Brown. But here's more from the very long-winded Drew Rosenhaus on Fox Sports Radio many, many hours ago here, commenting on Antonio Brown and talking about feelings. Talking about feelings.
I understand where the Raiders are coming from. They traded to get Antonio. They're counting on him. They want him to be able to focus on football and not be distracted by his equipment. Unfortunately, that's the reality of the situation. It's not the Raiders' fault. It's not Antonio's fault. Antonio is one of the few guys that has worn the same helmet through college and the NFL and feels it keeps him safe, and he doesn't see any reason to change it. But he was back with the team today. I anticipate he will moving forward as we try to find a permanent resolution of this issue.
You know, the analogy would be like when they started requiring the law, you have to wear seatbelts, and you're like, I feel safer if I get into an accident without my seatbelt on. Because then, you know, I could get stuck, the car could get mangled, and I'd be stuck in my seatbelt. So I think I should be allowed to drive without my seatbelt on because I feel like it's safer. It's my feeling. It's how I feel. All right, here's one more from the long-winded Drew Rosenhaus, who's looking for a solution. Solution, please.
I have confidence in our ability, myself, Antonio, the group that I work with, the Raiders, the NFL and the union, to come up with something that makes sense so that Antonio can continue playing football with comfortability, with the fact that he feels that he's safe.
Comfortability. When's the last time you heard somebody say the word comfortability? What a sleazy agent that is. That is just wonderful. That is the agent of Antonio Brown, the agent to the diva prima donna receiver, Drew Rosenhaus on Fox Sports Radio hours ago.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, we bring in the Koopa Loop for this edition of the Third Degree.
Ben, apparently there is a growing concern among MLB umpires that the Yankees are singling out young umpires and trying to intimidate them. And when asked about this by the media, Aaron Boone denied any such campaign. Ben, are the Yankees bullies?
No, listen, I'd love to say the Yankees were bullies. I don't buy that in this context. I've seen what's gone on the last couple weeks with the Yankees. But, A, the Bronx Bombers, their three main eruptions with umpires have been triple-A fill-in vacation umpires. Temps. They're frustrated. They claim that there's negligence and wrongdoing by these temp umpires, and so they've been unloading. But it's not like it's going to help them. Like, to me, you would bully an umpire because you think down the line they will be afraid to make a call against you. That's not what's happening. None of these umpires are going to work playoff games when the Yankees make the postseason. This is the ultimate first world problem. And I got to tell you, going back years ago, part B of this, with the old boss, George Steinbrenner, I talked to a number of guys that played with the Yankees and then ended up with the Dodgers. These are guys that played in the 80s and the 90s, with early 90s with the Yankees. And they believe when they played at Yankee Stadium that the home plate umpire was afraid to go against the Yankees, meaning that any 50-50 call went the way of the Yankees in the Bronx, that anything close, painting the black, if you will, was going to be called a ball if the Yankee hitter was up, and if the pitcher was on the mound, it would have been a strike. And that's what they believe. And so, listen, I mean, the Yankees, they think they're entitled to get those calls, but in this case, I don't believe that there was, you know, any real bullying going on. Next!
Speaking of the Yankees, Mariano Rivera just recently became the first ever unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer. Over the weekend, he said that he thinks Derek Jeter should be the second unanimous. Ben, I know you don't agree with him.
No, I don't.
But will Jeter be the second unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer?
Unfortunately, I believe Derek Jeter will be a unanimous selection in the Hall of Fame. He doesn't have my vote, but he will get in first ballot. Everyone will vote for him. Mariano Rivera, number one, broke the glass ceiling. It had been a tradition for one curmudgeon sports writer not to vote for whoever to get in the Hall of Fame, right? The pearly gates of Cooperstown on the first try. But now that's no longer available. We've already seen the Sandman get in, so that provides a path for Derek Jeter to get the same honor. And number two, listen, Derek Jeter is one of the more overrated players, if not the most overrated player, the past 30 years in sports. He was not a dominating player. He was consistently good, but rarely amazing. Jeter led the league in a major category three times in 20 years. Three times in 20 years, okay? He's not God's gift to baseball. Paul Molitor, from a different era, had similar numbers to Derek Jeter. He led the American League in hits three times, triples, runs scored a bunch of times, but he played in places like Minnesota, Milwaukee, and Toronto, so people didn't pay attention to him as much, and Jeter had that New York hype machine. But again, to answer your question, I believe he does get in as a unanimous Hall of Famer, Jeter, not that he should. Next!
Now, there are reports coming out of Brooklyn that say Kyrie Irving is already making his presence felt as a leader for the Nets. Ben, everyone is expecting big things from the Nets when Kevin Durant comes back, but do you think there's a chance that they surprise this year?
No, zero chance. They might even make the playoffs. Playoffs! The Brooklyn Nets, they overachieved last year. That's a lot of empty chatter going on. We're still a couple months away from the start of the NBA season. You know, a lot of talk and all that. Any team Kyrie Irving's a part of, I think you go the other way. You got to go the other way there. When push comes to shove, they will not walk the walk. They might talk the talk. And Kevin Durant, speaking of walking, he ain't walking through that door. Durant's not going to play this season. I think the Celtics have a better record with Kemba Walker and friends than Brooklyn does. And Kyrie Irving will eventually, like a rotten apple, separate and divide the Brooklyn Nets. So, no, I'm not buying Brooklyn. There it is, Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, you pass this edition.
That is a winner. You put it on the board. Yes.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Now, Maller's Mountain of Money.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Do you have what it takes to get to the top? Probably not.
All right, this is the Nate Dogg edition of Maller's Mountain of Money. A homage to Nate Dogg.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg.
It would have been 50.
Didn't make it. When did he die?
2011.
So he died. He was 42, roughly, give or take.
Wow.
It's early to check out, man. Yeah. All right. So Maller's Mountain of Money, the Nate Dogg edition. And we have our contestants ready to go. Let's see. Who do we have here? Let's see. We've got Dave in Minneapolis. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how are you?
Welcome in, Dave. Tell the guy in Beaver Dam who's got a friend in Punxsutawney who knows somebody in Rancho Cucamonga what you do for a living.
Well, nothing anymore, but actually Koopa Loop's old writer for Liar Liar was my teacher at UCLA.
Oh, really?
What?
Who knew?
Steve Mazur.
Coop, does that ring a bell, Coop?
Who?
Yeah.
Coop's like, I don't care. I was a kid. I don't know.
Never heard of him.
I have no idea. So, Dave, when you had a job, what were you? What kind of work did you do?
I managed a restaurant. I was a front desk at a talent agency. I worked at CBS as a guidance.
Really?
Coordinator.
Look at you, Mr. Big Hollywood guy. Now you're back in Minnesota.
No, I'm in Minneapolis now.
No, I know that. You're not in Hollywood anymore. You've moved on. Yeah, I got you.
Correct.
All right, Dave, hold on a sec. And we've got, let's see here. You can either go with five or two. I'll let Roberto pick. Five or two, Roberto?
Two.
Two. All right. You have picked Jimmy, who knows the way to San Jose. Hello, Jimmy.
Yeah, originally from Boston, but yeah.
I know, Jimmy. You always remind us that you are
anyway,
Boston in your DNA. I know that. All right.
Two things. I met Zach Hampel.
Who?
Hey, Jimmy, we're on the air right now. Jimmy, we're on the air. Jimmy. All right.
Zach Hampel. You know.
Never heard of
him. All right, hold on. Dave, who do you want to partner up with, Dave? Dave, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, who do you want to play with? Me, Ben, Eddie, Roberto, Koopaloop.
Let's go, Coop.
All right, Dave and Coop, that's one of the teams. Hold on a sec. Jimmy, who do you want to partner up with? Me, Ben, Eddie, or Roberto?
Because I'm going to Merced, I might as well pick Eddie.
All right, Eddie is the choice there, so we will have the game. You guys want to pick the categories. The categories are we have Regulate, Never Leave Me Alone, Nobody Does It Better, No Matter Where I Go. Dave was on the air first. Dave, which category do you want, Dave?
Regulate.
Regulate, all right. That's your category. And Jimmy, which one do you want, Jimmy? You have Never Leave Me Alone, Nobody Does It Better, and No Matter Where I Go.
Nobody Does It Better.
Okay, full of excitement, full of energy, vim and vigor. Everyone hold on here. We will get to Maller's Mountain of Money, a riveting game, and we will get to that, and we'll do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
And right back to Maller's Mountain of Money we go, brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you treat you. The teams are set. Dave is in Minneapolis. He went to UCLA, he claimed. He's connected in Hollywood, so he says. And he will be matched up with Koopaloop. Jimmy is a proud Bostonian, but he's living in Northern California. And he will match up with Eddie. And so those are the teams. It's the Nate Dogg edition. And Koopaloop, you are up first with Dave. You picked Regulate as the category. These athletes are all from the LBC, Long Beach, and I don't know that helps Dave out at all, but good luck to you, Coop. We'll put 45 seconds on the clock. We need first and last name, and you're on your way. Go.
I used to be the face of the Thunder, just got traded to the Rockets. Dave, you there?
What?
Next. He was one of the best hitters of all time, Mr. Padre.
Next.
Oh, my God. Wide receiver, used to play for the Eagles. He's now back with the Eagles. Fast guy. What? Pass? You want me to pass every single one? Jesus Christ. Top wide receiver for the Steelers. No longer Antonio Brown, but this guy.
Juju.
What's his full name? Yes. Center fielder for the New York Yankees.
All right. That was impressive. You did
that
not
was great.
Get Russell Westbrook, Mr. Padre, Tony Gwynn, a Hall of Famer.
Come on, man.
Or DeSean Jackson. But you did get Juju Smith-Schuster, so we'll put you
football guy
40 points there. And more importantly, Dave, you just drew Koopaloop went. He was about to go through the microphone and attack you. So that was worth it for me. All right, Eddie, you are up with our friend Jimmy here.
All right, Jimmy. Bar is pretty low here, buddy.
Nobody does it better. These athletes are all in the Hall of Fame, and you listening can play along with Eddie. And 45 seconds on your clock, and you're on your way. Go.
Yankees closer. He just was a unanimous Hall of Famer. Yeah. Old school slugger, the Hammer with the Atlanta Braves. He was the former career home run leader. Former career home run leader in Major League Baseball, Barry Bonds passed him up.
Oh, Hank Aaron.
Yeah. Former Redskins and Broncos defensive back. He was traded to Denver for Clinton Portis.
Pass.
Okay, Raiders Hall of Fame running back. He was a Super Bowl MVP against the Redskins. He feuded with Al Davis, and he got traded to the Chiefs late in his career.
Bo Jackson?
No, before that, he played at USC, won a Heisman at USC.
Before his time.
Yeah. Let's pass it. Old school NBA legend, white guy. Holy smokes.
Wow. We got a matchup. We got a game.
Wow, wait a minute. Am I correct here that Coop, with his 40 points, is in the lead?
Right? I mean, that's 30. You got Rivera and...
Hank Aaron.
And Hank Aaron. So you got 30. So it's 40 to 30.
All right. Great. Let's go again.
Okay. Wow, Eddie, you get to go again. You have Jimmy. You have never leave it alone. Never leave me alone, or no matter where I go.
Never leave me alone.
Never leave me alone. Okay, Eddie, you are back up. Yeah. We'll put 45 Great. Seconds on the clock. You had 30 last time. You get at least 10 to tie.
Yeah. Let's go.
45 seconds on the clock. You're on your way, Maller's Mountain of Money, and go.
Former star Giants receiver, known for the one-handed catch. Just got traded to Cleveland.
Beckham Jr.?
Yes.
All right.
NBA Hall of Famer from Africa, The Dream.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yes. Longtime NBA player. He's still playing, mostly with known for being with the Orlando Magic. Great rebounder. Played with the Lakers, Rockets, bounced around everywhere.
Dwight Howard.
Yes. Former NBA player for the Lakers and the Clippers. He dated a Kardashian. He almost overdosed in a whorehouse.
Blake Griffin?
Let's skip that. Current Rams defensive back. He's also played for the Patriots and the Broncos. He was famous for snatching a chain off Michael Crabtree's neck.
Get that in, unfortunately. But you did get enough to take the lead, Eddie. Congratulations. Very exciting, I know. You got, I believe,
Lamar Odom was the whorehouse guy.
60, So you got to 90. 90, so
yeah. Aqib Talib was the last guy I was trying to get to.
The drama, Coop, can he get 50? Can Coop get 50? Matter where I go is the category here.
I don't feel confident, but
Coop needs 45 to tie.
Right, these athletes all won a championship for multiple teams, and here we go. Good luck. You're on your way. Go.
All-time leading scorer in the NBA.
Bottom of the line.
No.
Will Chamberlain.
No.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes. Hey. Right. He is the current coach of the Warriors.
Steve Kerr.
Yes. A kicker for the Patriots and Colts. He won like three of the...
What a beneficiary.
Yes.
Wow.
Does that put him in the lead?
Bloody sock for the pitcher. Bloody sock. Won World Series with the Red Sox.
Give me his initials.
Who?
His initials.
No, we can't do the initials. That's cheating. You can't do the initials.
Nice try.
GM for the Lions. He went winless throughout the whole season. Lost every game.
Just had a heart transplant, too.
About it. Yeah, but we still won, right?
Boo.
Yeah, you won. Can't believe it. We've been doing this a long time. Woo! This is in the top three worst games we've ever had by the final score. Yes.
We had a game that was 0-0 one
time.
This
is as bad, Eddie. It was 100-90. The final score.
No, it's been a worse game than that.
No, come. I disagree. 100-90 was the final score. But nonetheless, Jimmy, you win. I got a golden
ticket. Dave wins.
Oh, wait. Dave wins. I hang up on Jimmy. I wasn't listening. All right. Congratulations, Dave. You win a golden ticket for not knowing Tony Gwynn, Russell Westbrook, and DeSean Jackson.
Jeez, terrible, man.
And yet you still won the game.
Wow.
How great is that?
Good God.
You know, to get on, like, Jeopardy, you have to go through an
online. I thought sports fans listen to Fox Sports Radio.
But like TV shows, you have to go through a training. There's a whole process. Our show, anybody that calls up,
gotta go.
Everybody can play. Everybody.